26, page 129, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions on a special use of a single-family dwelling on Putes Road. Alderman Dandridge.
A motion to adopt resolution 2020, imposing conditions and restrictions on the approval of a special use for this one-family residential dwelling use upon the property located at 9323 West Putes. Kevin Spiegel and Sandra. Have a second?
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G7, 167, a resolution authorizing contract for Pleasant View Park landscaping. No, this is master plan.
Master plan. So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Discussion.
Alderman Willem.
Well, there was no clear discussion on how we're going to do the neighborhood meeting, and this has been kind of a complication for me in the past, so I wanted to add to the motion to direct staff to provide a timely residential notice for the neighborhood meeting.
I'll amend my motion.
And the reason why this is really important is because this was supposed to come back on February 17th, so we would have had a lot more time, so it didn't come back, and now we're really close to that March 16th neighborhood meeting date. And so I need to make sure that it gets noticed.
Couple things. Been moved, seconded, and voted on affirmatively. Typically, neighborhood meetings are the purview of the alderman of the district, but we always are happy to have staff to help. So the alderman can work with staff and make it happen. It's fine. Don't need council action on that.
Do
if you want to. If you want to add it to the motion, then we'll have to reconsider the motion, vote on a reconsideration, bring it back on the table, make an amendment to the motion, and then do it all over again. Let's move on to G8.
Well, you could have recognized me. Thank you.
Let's move to G8. A resolution to issue change order number 2 for Pleasant View Pavilion, the amount of $6,407.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Question.
On a change order. Alderman Little.
The change order does not include any thing for, on page 79, there are no sidewalk, patio, schedule. How are we going to get that done? There's no schedule for any of that. So who's going to handle sidewalk, patio, and that issue?
That was discussed in a previous meeting. We're going to have DPW do that this spring.
So that will be an extra cost in the DPW's budget. We'll cover that and the...
I'm sure if you'd prefer the contractor to do it, DPW would be more
than
happy.
No, I'm not preferring anything. I'm just asking the question because we want to get it opened up. We got, you know, dates and pavilion rentals going. And so I don't know what DPW's load is.
Very heavy.
I don't know what your budget is. And so I'm just asking that. And it wasn't listed. So
we were planning to get it done this year, although it was stretching the department, I will admit.
And this is one of those build-into type of things that probably could have been an all-inclusive type of thing, which I kind of brought forward with the contractors we had before. And this is one of the reasons why I like to see an all-inclusive in-house.
It was an effort to save every dollar we could on this project to make it happen.
You're going to stretch the DPW department. So thank you for the clarification, however.
No, we didn't vote.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any changes? All of them. Motion carries. G9, 181, a resolution entered a memorandum of understanding with state for a driveway for Mr. Mann.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G10, 193, direction of Wistad for Lover's Lane. Who's doing this?
I got something.
You really want to do this?
last Thursday, quite an education. So I'm glad, and I applaud staff, Franklin City staff, for being there to help represent Franklin residents and ask some very tough questions, as there were a lot of what-ifs brought up and a lot of uncertainties that were brought to the table once we started talking. So one of which, and I'd like to ask Mr. Moro, and I already kind of asked him before the meeting, so I'm not blindsiding him, to explain, like, I guess one of the big ones, and this is not going to be, I mean, this is not going to be a well-received project, I believe, when this comes down to some of the limitations and where the traffic flow is going to go. But before we get into that part, you know, the city of Franklin has, did the city of Franklin have enough input and knowledge? I mean, did the state come to the city and say, hey, look, we're looking for these easements, these 12, these right-of-ways? I mean, were we brought to this initially? I mean, because it seemed like when we were discussing or on the round table with all the talking heads, they were pretty much kind of dictating how this is going to roll. And I mean, are you comfortable that the best interests of the city of Franklin are being represented by the state of Wisconsin?
I would say this. They are on the early end of this project. So it's not, you know, decisions have not been made. They're asking this ahead of time. So I think, yes, to answer your question, because, like I said, we are on the early end of it. They're really just starting thinking about the project. They're still fluid in some areas. They are asking for some direction from us on these issues.
And what is your professional opinion where that stockpile should be kept? Are you good with, I mean, I understand that the further we put it away from residents, the better. However, the further away delays project time. So, I mean, if you're...
Sure.
I mean, you know...
If I give a little background. So if any of you drove through Hales Corners as they were doing their construction project up there, they started out the project where they kept stockpiles in the right-of-way. This is a big item of contention for the Hales Corners because they felt like it was blocking their business views and making it difficult to see their businesses. So, again, they're starting the project. They ask us to weigh in. Would we have the same concerns in Franklin? I personally don't think it's a big issue because we don't have the businesses sitting right on the road like they do in Hales Corners. So some of the trade-offs, obviously it would be less expensive for DOT, but probably more importantly for us, this could potentially get the project done sooner because it takes a lot less time to haul the materials in and out. And raise your hand if you drove through Hales Corners and never had to stop for a truck entering and exiting the lane of traffic. So if you think about if you have to haul that stone out, that's a lot more dump trucks that, you know, blocks traffic coming in and out. And I think it would be a bigger nightmare driving through it. So personally, it doesn't bother me, but if you think it would bother you or the Franklin residents, I can pass that along.
And one last point that I felt I heard the residents speaking, and we had our state representative there.
Ooh.
We had our county supervisor was there.
Ooh.
We had, you know, candidates that are running for office. I mean, everybody was, you know, it was interesting. We kind of outnumbered the people that were affected by the project. But one of the things that I did find interesting was how the state, if I lived on Cortez Road, and now I can no longer turn left to go northbound on Highway 100. I have to go southbound, loop around, and go north, and there's no other option. I think that's going to be a huge point of contention.
Yeah, I do believe that's probably going to be the biggest gripe, and I'm not sure there's a lot we can really do about that. So if you know where the Cortez is empty into Highway 100, in essence what you can do is you can go from Highway 100 into Cortez's, either one. Coming out of Cortez, you can turn right, either going south or going north, depending on which area you're coming from, but you won't be able to cross and make a left-hand turn. So in essence, what that means is if you live on the west side of the highway, you won't be able to go north immediately. You have to turn south, go down, and do a U-turn and go back.
And you've got to go to Menards and turn around.
And so, yeah, on the other side, you'd have to go up to the Menards and do a U-turn south. So the North Cortez, they're doing that because that's where the queuing lane is needed for to turn into Menards Speedway is the road there. The one south, they are going to redo the traffic counts this spring and the projection, but they really don't like the idea of doing that. They think it'd be much safer if they prohibit that action.
Remember that the state DOT's goal is no traffic fatalities, no traffic accidents.
And on that note,
regardless of the cost.
Right. And on that note,
bike
Mayor,
lane. Lots of bike lanes.
Is I guess talking about traffic studies and being around them and have made them myself, you know, I guess my question, when I questioned that tonight to the, that night to the engineer heads was, you know, what are you basing? If everything is data driven, are there that many crashes that would dictate this huge change in, I mean, there's going to be people that are going to wake up one day and live in on that west side on Cortez Road and saying, how the heck do I, what do I do? And then it's going to be getting familiar with that turnaround, and it, I don't know. I think that's going to be something I'd like to challenge them to try to help figure out, opposed to just dumping it on us. But I know we're in the early stages. I know it's a 2025 project, so we'll see where it goes. Yeah, thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
I'm not telling anybody they don't know, but that's would really be an inconvenience for those people living on Cortez. They're going to be up in arms. They're going to that's huge, and being familiar with that area, it's not my district, thank God, but there anything that they can possibly reconsider with that, and are they considering they don't want to have an accident there for somebody crossing over? But what about what they're doing? Number one, adding to road rage. People that have to turn up and go around. But what about when they're making that U-turn up wherever they have to make it then? I mean, what about crashes in that area?
Yeah.
You know, as much as I hate roundabouts, a roundabout would be an even better idea there. Just something's got to be done there. I know I'm just stating the obvious here, but...
Isn't there a lot of northbound traffic at that turn up?
Yeah,
tons.
That's primarily where they would turn when they come out of Cortez.
Alderman Willem.
Yes, Alderman Mayor, I have that situation on 27th Street, so I know the
right.
People in the mobile home park, they have to go down Pick and Save just to go north. They got to go down.
Street,
yeah, the whole, yeah, it's really bad at that particular intersection, though, for those people. So at first it was a real big problem, but they've seemed to adjust, and all of us over there kind of living with it, not liking it, but that's their access elimination policy. But I had a question on page, there's two page numbers on this sheet of paper. So I guess it's 197, 195, I think it's 197. And it shows the picture of Phyllis and Lover's Lane and that service road. Does that have a name?
It does not.
Wilhelm Wayne.
And that... Mayor, I think I have the floor, and so I'd appreciate it if you'd let me have the floor. So is whose responsibility would that road be?
It is the city's, and we plow it now. It is our city
okay,
road.
So it's showing an existing road, or is there going to be changes to that road?
So the one on the west side of the road, the left-hand side of the page, where it says service road, right now you can enter that road where about the VE and Lover's Lane that you see there.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you head south, where I have the X, is where you can now enter back onto the road.
And so they're going to make a cul-de-sac that?
They're going to make a cul-de-sac. They want to have that third lane depart to get to Rawson.
Are they going to cover that, or is that going to be a city cost?
They will build the cul-de-sac.
You're going to build that.
And so they are purchasing the additional right-of-way to make that happen.
Okay.
I will point out it's not labeled service road, but in essence the service road that you see on the right hand side, which would be the east side of the road. Right now it's a two-way street. We had at least two, maybe three residents that live along there that show up the other night. So the trade-off is they can keep it a two-way street, but it's going to take more of their yard. They can go to a one-way street and have less of their yard taken out, but then they'll have the inconvenience of living on a one-way street. And then there's the option of going one way north, one way south. What I suggested to the people that showed up the other night was think about it for a few months in July and August. I'll solicit each one and ask them which of those three options they prefer, and you can make a decision based on their
input.
They'll
be pulling out of their driveways and telling themselves, I can only go one way, and trying that for a while.
So
that'll be interesting.
I personally think it'd be safer for one way south, because if you go one way north and you want to do a U-turn, if you will, because it hurt it, you will be able to cross the road. You're basically doing a U-turn into your blind spot. And so I can imagine some T-bone accidents there. Southbound, you would see trucks traffic coming at you. Having said that, people who live there feel that traffic goes a lot faster coming from the south, and that they would have to do a U-turn into much faster traffic. So I can understand their concern, but don't know that I have a big preference one way or the other. Obviously, it's not my yard that's being taken up, so I appreciate that. I wouldn't want to have more of my yard taken up. So like I said, I told them to think about it for a few months, talk to their neighbors. We'll talk to them in July or August and come to Common Council for a final decision.
I wish Leroy was here. This is a disaster. This is a disaster.
It's ridiculous, huh?
Ridiculous. So, first of all, how do you get a snowplow on that service drive, on the east service drive? You got to drive it backwards because you got to go around Herta and Phyllis and then come backwards on that street.
They don't get plowed. Simple as that.
Yeah.
They have to all buy four-wheel drive.
They have to shovel.
So, you get two cars wanting to turn right on the Highway 100 from that service drive. Okay. Huh. Yeah, man. Anyway.
So. Let's move on.
So we don't like it.
Just one quick question. Glenn, the dotted line there, would that be the amount of their yard that would be taken up?
Don't take that as gospel, but I put that on there to show that there would be something in their yard taken up. So it depends. I think we figured out it's probably like an extra 6 feet if they do or they don't go two-way versus one-way.
Yeah.
And the slope in their driveways would be much better if they went to one-way because they'll have steeper driveways if we go two-way.
Alderman Dandridge.
Hey, Glenn, I know that this is the best of the worst, that traffic coming from the south and going north, it comes in at an angle and turns. They're not going to, people who are going to cut across, there's going to be accidents there. I mean, and they're moving pretty quick already. They're up to about 60 miles an hour. So.
Police officer was there and he set up there.
Nelson knows it better than I do, but I believe it comes in at an angle when it bends around.
We have a strong state rep that can solve that.
Yeah, call the state.
Oh, that's good.
Call the state rep. Without objection, we move on to G13, ordinance amendment 29-2398, option for the 2020 annual budget.
So moved.
Sewer
second.
This is to buy a truck. This requires a roll call vote. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. G14 on 239. Ordinance to amend 2018-2345, adopting the 2019 annual budgets for the various funds to amend the budget for calendar year 2019. The list is attached.
Motion to approve based on the list that was attached and the recommended, and also the recommendation of the Finance Committee.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry, roll call. Thank you. I was hoping.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. I'll move on to item H1 licenses. Alderman Nelson.
We only have one more approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I1, motion approving the following city vouchers ending date of March 1st, $2,602,525.97, and approving $6,588,701.17 of debt service payments to Bond Trust Services direct from investment accounts. Payroll dated February 28th in the amount of $396,414.36 in payments to the various payroll deductions in the amount of $516,537.40 plus city matching payments. An estimated payroll for March 13th, estimated $389,000. Payments to the various payroll deductions, estimated $213,000 plus city matching payments. Property tax disbursements with an ending date of February 28th in the amount of $6,191,982.82 and release of payment to Knight Berry in the amount of $74,250.18, and release of payment number through Title 100 in the amount of $340,798.60.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.